everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Today's Topics with Elmo. And on today's episode, I'm going to go through a little bit about what my preferences are between Apple's iPhone, or iOS, I should say, and Google's Android. Okay, this is just my preferences. And then, you know, being as we're on the subject of Google, and they own YouTube, so we need to talk about what's really going on with them right now. And it's all about the issue where they're having to pay so many millions of dollars out for a violation. We'll get to that in a minute. And there may be a couple other things I might ramble on about, but first, we gotta pay the bills. Okay, guys, I'm back. And to start this off, let's just lay it out there. I'm an Android person. I figured I just needed to get that off my chest before we got any farther into this podcast. Okay, so saying that, I will be a little maybe biased. I've had iPhone, so don't assume that I've never had iPhone and I just want to reject them altogether. No, I've actually practically owned two or three iPhones. One was borrowed. But I borrowed it for a pretty decent long length of time. And another one was actually bought from it was used from a friend of mine. And then there was another one, and it wasn't an iPhone, but it was an iPod Touch. I actually liked that one because it was just simple. Everything just fell into place on it. But the touchscreen went out on it, and long story short, I had to get that fixed, which not a big deal because we had the Walmart insurance to go with it, but, and it was about a year and a half old, and which I used it a lot. I mean, I didn't have a cell phone at the time, or if I did, it wasn't touchscreen. Yeah, that's what it was. I had a little flip phone from Verizon. Basically, I used this thing wherever I went, played games on it, everything. It was the coolest thing ever, and it was third generation. It was right before they went to the flat-sided bodies. It was the rounded back. But it had a Wi-Fi and everything. And it was like the coolest thing ever. So, I mean, I've had my fair share of Apple products. Never owned a MacBook. And the reason for that is probably because they are undoubtedly expensive. And that may be a topic for another day. Is MacBook really worth it? Personally, I'm just going to get this little opinion off real quick. I don't really think so. I think you can build a rock-solid PC yourself for about $2,000 to $3,000 less than what a MacBook or a Macintosh computer cost. And it's the same. And the reason I say that is because one of the biggest things that Apple has always pushed was that they were so much safer. And by safer, I mean like unhackable, and that's what their claim was. Well, there was one time when there was, it's probably about 10, 15 years ago, I'm going to say about 10 years ago, they had this big claim that they were completely unhackable, and they even got some of the country's best computer tech people in this little session, and they said, if you can hack this within so much amount of time, then you're going to get, I can't remember if it was thousands or millions of dollars. You would win it just because you've hacked it. They said it couldn't be done. Within 30 seconds, one of them had it hacked. Or it could have been a little longer, give or take a few seconds. But they are hackable. They just put this claim out. I think it's borderline false advertisement. Which is crazy. I mean, these people are paying, what, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 a computer, and they're going to false advertise something like that. But back on the phone subject, the whole iTunes thing, it really turns me off. That's the main thing that keeps me from getting iPhone and staying on iPhone. I mean, they are great phones. I will say that. I'm going to throw that out there. They're great phones. They are completely user-friendly. And if you are a beginner into smartphones, I would definitely recommend getting a lower-end iPhone, which in 2020, they're supposed to release a budget-friendly iPhone. I think it's something to do with their bringing out an older iPhone, giving it new hardware, and releasing it to the public without it being anything special, okay? So it's not going to be top of the line. It's probably going to be about $500. Knowing Apple, they overcharge. That's another point I'm going to get to in a minute. But first, like I said, they are very, very user-friendly. I've never had an issue trying to figure out how to do something on them, okay? But when it comes to, like, say, ringtones, wallpapers, just about everything you want to do on the phone, apps, they all have to come through iTunes. Android, you can get on there, download a picture from Google, set it as your wallpaper, download a sound from Zedge, set it as your wallpaper with a touch, and they may change that in the future. I'm not going to say they're not going to, but for right now, or at least the last time I had an iPhone, which was less than a year ago, if I wanted to save a ringtone on my phone as a ringtone or whatever from the Zedge app, I still had to connect it to iTunes to kind of, I guess, make them a middleman just to approve it and make sure the licenses or whatever is correct. It's Zedge. If it wasn't legal, Zedge probably wouldn't have it. Well, for very long anyway. So, I mean, when I have iPhones, I feel so constrained. I feel like, well, one, I can't have expandable memory. So if I want to record videos or anything, I have to make sure I have space for them. Two, they did away with the headphone jack, which I know, before y'all say anything, Android is slowly doing away with headphone jack anyway. I don't like that on either one of them. But Apple was the first to do it, so I'm going to hate on them for a little while. On the bright side, though, you can purchase a little dongle. I think that's what they call it, a dongle. That allows you to plug your charger into one side, plug your headphones into the other, yada, yada, yada. And I'm sure Samsung and LG and all them other brands will eventually do that. Which brings back another point. I think, actually, if Apple was to outsource its iOS operating system, they would do 10 times better as a company. Hundreds times better. But I understand it's their product. They don't want anybody else using it. And it would drive down quality. Because you wouldn't have, say, like, a cheap brand, ZTE. You wouldn't have ZTE making a lower-end version of your operating system and giving the thing a bad name. Which is basically what happens. I mean, Android is at fault with that. And I know I'm sounding like I'm really going for Apple on this one, but I'm not. Just because, simply, I don't like being constrained when I have technology. If I have a phone, I want to be able to do whatever with it I want to. I don't want to have to ask somebody else for permission, basically. Like, I mean, I understand other people's rights to their own property. I'm not saying anything like that. I just feel like with iPhone, there's nothing you can do on your own. You have to ask permission from the creator of the iPhone, basically. So, it's like saying, I've got a phone, but I gotta ask Daddy what I can do with it, you know? And I don't like that. Granted, the camera on the iPhones are great. I honestly can't tell the difference between the top-of-the-line iPhone camera and the top-of-the-line Galaxy. That's just me. I don't really see a big difference in them. And that kind of brings me to another thing. I mentioned camera. At the time this was recorded, it was probably like 2 years ago. Apple made this big, humongous claim that facial recognition was their idea. No, it wouldn't. I remember 3 or 4 years ago, behind a cheap little Android phone at Walmart that could do facial recognition to sign in on your phone. The fingerprint scanner. It was done on cheaper Androids. It wasn't great. Not at all. It took like 3 or 4 seconds to work. But they had it. It's that point. Like, and I've noticed this with a lot of video game consoles too. Everybody wants to copy and then claim. I remember one time, I love Microsoft. I love my Xbox. Okay. one time they said, we're revolutionizing the video game industry by making it to where you don't even have controllers. PlayStation already did that with their camera. It was the iToy. They had a few little mini games that you could play with just the camera. You didn't have to have a controller. And it was not good. It was no good by any means. But it's the fact that Microsoft tried to claim what PlayStation had already done. And then also, the Wii, PlayStation Move, kind of copied off of that. Which is kind of pointless, because once you realize that you can play the Wii sitting down, you never actually have to get up off the couch. I don't know. I'm pretty sure the Move made it to where you actually had to get up off the couch. I'm not 100% certain. And now they got all this VR stuff, which is very dangerous, by the way. If you don't have a open area to play in, don't get one. If you don't have at least a, I'm going to say a 5x5 square foot area, don't get one. I would even go to say 7x7 or 8x8. Just because you're going to run into stuff. You're going to fall on your face. And then, or you could be so disoriented that you think you're climbing, but you're not, and then you fall and bust your nose. And also recommend playing on carpet, too, or at least a rug. No injuries. Be safe out there, friends. But I know I got veered off. But back to the big debate. Here's my next point. Apple is overpriced. They are the reason that I believe that Samsung is selling their phones for $1,000, $1,200 now. They're not worth it. No phone is out there is worth $1,200. But yet we're forced to pay that because we feel like we need the next best thing that's going to last forever. And I think a lot of that with Samsung has to do with their buyback program. And in the sense that every year when a new Galaxy Edition is released, you can get it and upgrade your old one to the new one. I'm not sure if it's free of charge. It may be just like a really, really, really strong discount. Or you may even get it free. I have no idea. But that's the point that I'm trying to make. And I think that's caused the cost of these phones to go way up in the air. I remember when I was young, the most expensive phone I wanted was about $300. And I really, really wanted this phone. It was a LG Voyager Titanium. It wasn't even a smartphone. It was just a little touchscreen phone that had two screens. It was a clamshell phone, which means it opened from the side, folded open, and it had a full QWERTY keyboard on the inside with a touchscreen on the outside. It had two speakers on the inside, so it was like looking at a little laptop with a keyboard. I wanted that so bad. And it was only $300, and that was brand new, unlocked, no carrier whatsoever. And now we got phones that's $1,200. What's the deal, people? But that goes back to what I was saying. Like, I believe Apple is way overpriced. And it's not about their phones. It's about their other products, too. Like their laptops. I said that earlier. But then you got their accessories. Like, there is no reason that a charger block, just because it has the picture of an Apple on it, that it releases the same amount of electricity as the other ones that are half the price, should be like $30, $40. And that's not even with a cord. That is just the charger block. Okay? That's ridiculous. And recently, they came out with this new ploy. It was an Apple stand. Or Mac stand. Yeah, that's what they called it, a Mac stand. And essentially what that is it's a monitor stand for your computer. The monitor stand itself is $1,000. $1,000 for a monitor stand, you can get the same thing, maybe $100, maybe $150 in a generic version. Ooh, it's got a magnet. Whoop-dee-dee. What's the big deal? It's got a magnet that your monitor hooks to. I don't know about y'all, but when I was younger, you didn't put magnets around computers in fear that it would erase them. I mean, that's what I grew up with. Maybe that's what they want. So you can call their technical support and have to pay for the repairs. Ooh. But now also they got that, what is it, the Apple Card or Apple Finance or whatever it is. That's I don't understand that one. I really don't. It's, I feel like it's something else that's going to get people hooked to, because from what I understand, you can't not have an iPhone while having this card. Like, this card literally requires you to have Apple hardware and Apple Pay at the same time. Now, some of you are very, very skeptical about having all your financial numbers, I guess you could say, that's connected to an app on the internet, so to speak. And we've been proven time and time again that the internet is extremely hackable. It doesn't matter what kind of internet security you have, somebody can still get into it. It's just how bad do they want to. Another thing, there is no welcome bonus. You know, there's a lot of credit card companies out there that will advertise no interest for yada 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 months. Well, there's not even that. So I mean this is literally a way to get you hooked on Apple. Like, you have to be with Apple. Granted, there's no fees, which means that you won't have the annual fee. I'm sure there's late fee on payments. Everything's gonna have that. Does Android have a card like this yet? No. Will they in the future? Oh, it's probably in the process right now that Apple's come out with it. But it will be more than likely through people like Samsung or LG, Motorola. No, Motorola's kind of like the backstage, you know, the stage hand of the phones. Like, it helps the big wigs get out there. I can't say anything. I got a Motorola. It's a G6. It works. You know, I'm not high tech, I guess you could say. Another thing, it's MasterCard. This Apple card. I much prefer Visa, but you know, because Visa is accepted everywhere. MasterCard is not. That is a big downside for me. Oh, and also, there's no numbers on this card on the outside, so you literally can only use it at certain places. Like, I don't really understand that, but you know, it happens. I guess you have to connect it to your phone by scanning it, because the little RFID, whatever it is, I guess that's the only way you would know how to purchase stuff online, or the only way you'd be able to purchase stuff online is through Apple Pay. The only way you'd be able to purchase stuff with it is with Apple Pay. So that's kind of... Also, it's titanium, which is weird. I mean, that's understandable. It's new, shiny, durable. It's not plastic like all the other ones. Here's the kicker to that. They have come out and said that you don't want to store it in leather, don't want to do this, don't want to do that. You basically just need to put it in a well-coated sock and keep it for everywhere that's not connected to anything. So why don't you just go get a low-strength magnet and float it? That's basically, you know, one that won't strip the information out of it. Point is, though, that's just ridiculous. Nobody's going to have a credit card that they have to treat like a baby. And I don't understand it. But point is, they're trying to help consumers understand the consequences of paying off a credit card over time and how much interest rate that gains, because it's got a regular APR of 12.99 to 23.99, which is horrible, but it is a credit card. And of course, we all know you take those payments and you pay the minimum amount, you'll end up paying on it for years. Something as simple as an iPhone. But honestly, even though the iPhones, Macintosh, and all the Apple products are really solid material pieces, I still think I would rather choose Android. One, so many different brands to choose from. Each one, it seems like it's stylized for that particular person. So it's kind of like you've got a whole different perspective or personality with each phone. Now, granted, some brands are better than others. Seems to be like right now that Samsung is the front runner LG's really, really fell behind here lately. I've not heard a lot of good things about the phones that they're coming out with. Motorola had a really, really good idea. A really good idea. And that was with the modular phone. And I have a feeling that in the future, when the patents become available, that other phones will be jumping on this, like other phone developers. It's just the simple fact of it's, there was two lines that they had that would do it. That would interconnect. And it was, I think, the Motorola Z and the Motorola X Play, or I don't remember the other one, but I know it was the Moto Z. And it was essentially that you had attachments that you could attach to the back of your phone. One was a really, really, really high-end camera, and one was a extra 3 or 4 hours, extra 3,500 milliamp battery, I think, and another one was a smaller battery. Then you had one that was a projector, one that was a really, really nice high-end speaker, like kind of like a Bluetooth speaker, but it was, you know, it just attached to the back. Granted, that would drain your battery pretty fast. Some of them, there was one that actually had a battery built into it, so it wouldn't really drain it that much. It just had to have connection from the cell phone itself. And how it done that was, it was this little electrical, kind of looks like the battery on the old phones when you could actually take the battery out. I hate that you can't do that now. I mean, the battery goes bad a year or two in, and then you're stuck with a phone that barely works because you don't have the money to send it off and get it fixed. But I understand the whole structure of the phone needs to be held intact a certain way to keep it break resistant. And I get that. It's class, I guess you could say. But it had these little dots, metal dots on the back, and you would just snap this case, like, right on the back of it. And you could just practically do anything with your phone you wanted to. And they are still selling these. I mean, granted, the attachments are kind of high, so by the end of it, you start off with, I think the phone itself is like $400-something. By the time you bought all the attachments, it would be right up there with the same price of the Galaxy, but look at all the extra stuff you're getting. And Motorola makes a pretty solid phone, I will say. I've had two of them. Both of them have lasted me for at least a year or two. I mean, it probably could have lasted more. The last one I dropped and it screen cracked, so I'm seeing how this one will do. Okay? And then, they are owned by Lenovo. Now, Lenovo is a computer manufacturer, or at least they used to be. I think I still see some laptops at Walmart every now and then, but that's you know, totally beside the point. And I've noticed that I have got really off subject. I was meaning to get a debate between Apple and Android, and look what happened. But my Moto G6 is now running, what's the new one, Pi? Android Pi? I think it's Pi 9.0. I'll continue to talk about it while I'm looking it up. And it runs really smooth, actually. It's starting to get some lag to it, but I think that is my antivirus on it. So I may look into a different one. I've got, what is it, Avast? And it may even be because I'm using the free version and not paying for it. Who knows? These companies could just upend you and cause you to have to pay just to be able to use your phone at normal speed. But nonetheless, who knows? Android version 9, which is Pi. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. And, of course, if any of you don't know, if you go to your About Phone section in the settings, you can sit there, or you used to be able to. I guess you can't now. But you used to be able to hold the number 9 or the Android version in, and it would come up a little game. But I guess it... Ooh, it does, still. Yay! Wish y'all could see this. But it doesn't have a game anymore. The game that it used to come up with was kind of like Flappy Birds. I know you're hearing me tap the screen, but that's what you used to be able to do. You used to be able to tap a bunch of times on the Android number, and it would bring up the symbol of what that version was, and then you would either tap a bunch more times or hold your finger down on it, and it would bring up this kind of like Flappy Bird game. That it was kind of fun. It was like each Android came with its own game. But I don't think they do that anymore. I don't think anybody cared enough about it. And if you, unless you watched YouTube videos, you probably didn't even know about it. Because that's about the, that's the place I learned it at. And it's, but moving on to our next topic. One of our next topics. I'll probably just ramble on about something else in a minute. Google. We're on the subject of Google today. YouTube, though. Before I get started, for y'all that want to, go check out my YouTube channel. It's L-MOE-S World. And you have to spell it like that. At least until I get enough followers that I start registering in the search banks a lot easier. The reason I've done that is because of the nickname that I've got, and I've adopted it. Sometimes I regret doing it because of the grammar that you have to use to search me. But I can't let that part of me go because that is part of my lifestyle now. More people know me as that nickname than anybody has ever known me by any other nickname. Back to YouTube. Are your kids watching YouTube? And if they are, do they have their own account? Here's the latest lawsuit that YouTube has gotten themselves involved in. As of the 9th of April, this article that I have been reading, it says that YouTube has been illegally collecting data on children, and I'm assuming this is on their YouTube Kids app, and all these kids are getting on there, they're watching those toys videos. Of course, we recently seen something about the Momo Challenge or whatever. Of course, we all know that that was taken care of. Law enforcement got involved, and that was taken down because kids had actually been performing these malicious acts, and even some of them committing suicide because this character Momo told them to, which was just creepy. I even myself had forced my kids not to be able to watch YouTube for a while unless I was in the room myself, and chances are we wouldn't watch toy videos just in case she popped up. But here's the point behind it. Apparently, they've been collecting data on children, according to a coalition of 23 U.S. child privacy, consumer, and advocacy groups. The coalition filed a complaint with the U.S. Federal Trade Commission, which is the FTC, for all you that don't know that, I'm sure you don't care, but anyway. It was alleging that Google, as YouTube's owner, is violating child protection laws by harvesting the personal data of kids under the age of 13, and then using this information for targeting advertising purposes. So that's basically harvesting your kids' video likes, your kids' video watches, whatever toys they watch, whatever slime videos, whatever. It was harvesting this so that when they pop the ads up, they was using companies and basically selling it out to these companies to put their ads on YouTube so they could put them on these kids' things so they could get the kids to ask their parents to buy stuff for them, in turn making this big circle of revenue. That's horrible. It wouldn't bother me so bad if these kids were 14, 15. No, these are under 13, completely innocent children, and they're using them to farm revenue, basically, is what it amounts to. So, what can be done about it? At this point in time, they were supposed to be getting fined $170 million. That was their fine. And it turns out they will have to pay that, although I had seen before that they had went to certain judges, and these judges had got the case dismissed, overturned, whatever. But these child advocacy groups, that's a hard word for me to say for some reason, went back and they kept fighting and fighting and fighting for these child's rights, and they won. So YouTube is having to pay out $170 million. Here's the issue I have with YouTube lately. They are getting more and more strict on what's we're, as creators, are allowed to say. So that's why I've pretty much just kind of centered myself around food, and I will, like I've said in previous podcasts, that I will be uploading cooking videos and stuff like that. Probably not going to do a lot of outdoorsy stuff, just simply because I don't want to get on YouTube's bad side, because they are a big, big company, and I know they have lawyers that can take just about anybody down, no matter what they do. So, just going to try to stay on their good side. I mean, I have fun myself. You know, I don't need to post about it all the time. And if I want to, so what? If they take a couple videos and they don't monetize them, you know, that's not going to hurt my pride any. But I encourage y'all to check out the channel. And if you see something that I could improve on, other than my quality of video, I am working on that. For some reason, my camera keeps wanting to shut off after 20 minutes of video. I don't know what it is. So I'm having to piece together, and especially when it gets really, really hot outside, my camera battery just kind of goes. Ugh. So I'm really, really trying to keep that, you know, as good quality as I can. A lot of the videos that you do see me do in my truck, they are with my Moto G6, which has a really good camera, considering the phone itself was $170. Unlocked, brand new. Granted, it is not the top-of-the-line Motorola. I could have got a much better one, like the Moto Z that I was telling you all about, or the Moto G, or the Moto Droid, or the Droid Z, whatever it's called. But I just needed a new phone. At the time, I was borrowing an iPhone from my wife's uncle, and it was an older phone, and I knew that in a few months that Apple was going to stop updating. It was an iPhone 5S. It was going to stop updating it. The apps were no longer going to be updated for it. So if, say, the phone crashed, I wouldn't be able to get Facebook on it when I reloaded it. I would have to find a way to get it. Oh, wait, I can't do that on an iPhone. I forgot about that. So that brings back to our topic. Like, if you have an older phone, and say Facebook ain't updated for it anymore, well, You're stuck on iPhone. You're stuck with trying to get a newer iPhone or dealing without that social media that you love or going through the web browser. And sometimes even the web browser ain't even updated anymore. So then you're just kind of stuck without it. You got a smartphone that all you can do is call and text on, which is kind of defeats the purpose of having a smartphone. So what I'm trying to say is, Android's better. It is. Get over it, you Apple people. Nah, I'm joking. Apple does have good products. I will not diss them completely. My personal preferences, I just don't like them. But anyway, for the price, I think I got a really good camera. And I think it takes pretty decent video. It does rate at a 1080p. Although, I don't think the frame rate is completely as high as it could be, still pretty decent. And this ain't really a review of the phone. I was just kind of trying to explain why my camera quality is not as good as top-notch as other people's. When I'm in studio, the audio quality should be pretty good, considering I'm using the Blue Yeti. It's not the Yeti Pro, although I may eventually get one of those, due to the XLR cable and the ability to switch it to an actual analog sound board, I should say, and to get that distinct, over-the-top, great quality audio. But for right now, it's a USB mic, and I think it does pretty good. The sound card in it, plus the sound card that's on my computer, I think both of them working together do really good, even though my computer is kind of slow at editing videos. I need to upgrade, and I will eventually, I will upgrade. Actually, I think I just need a new RAM chip in this laptop. It's an HP something, something, something. I got it like 3 or 4 years ago when my woman, she wanted to start a vinyl cutting business, and it still works, so why not? But basically, I guess what I'm trying to say about the whole YouTube thing is, about letting your kids have their own accounts online and whatnot, because you never know when these big multi-billion dollar websites like YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all them other places, LinkedIn, Foursquare, Snapchat, Instagram, or did I say that one twice? You never know when all these big name accounts are harvesting your child's data, what they search for, what their age is, selling names out to advertisement companies, even though they say they're not. Do you really know and trust them, considering they have billions of dollars waiting to pay somebody off? But that's the big topic. It goes like this, folks. Let's be positive about it. I've watched YouTube for years. Although I do think it's pretty creepy of how I can be thinking about something, the next thing I know, an ad for it pops up on Facebook. Never mention that to anybody. Or that item. But all of a sudden, you're thinking about it one day, and next thing you know, you look at your phone, and there's the ad. I think they've learned how to read our minds. What are we gonna do? And who knows, there's probably satellites everywhere listening to me right now, connecting to my computer, listening to the audio that I am talking right now. But hey, that is the society that we live in. But you know what? We are Americans and we are free. Granted, we may not be the only one country in the world that is free. There are other countries that do have freedom. What I feel makes us great, though, is that our freedom solely made by voluntary sacrifice. England, yes, it has some freedom. You know, you could pretty much do it anything you want. Over the years, their parliament and their monarchy has kind of dwindled down to pretty much a lifelong presidentship. And after the Magna Carta back in the 1500s, whenever it was, that really, really limited the monarch's power. I mean, used to, the monarch could kill anybody that wanted to, tax anybody they wanted to, just completely rule the land. But after that was passed, and it just really, really shut down the king, and now they had to listen to basically what we would call a Congress, their parliament, the House of Lords and the House of Commons. I don't really know which one is which, and I don't know exactly what goes into what, but, you know, I know it's essentially like our Congress. Over there now, their military is voluntary, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure their military is voluntary. But back in the day, you were killed if you didn't fight. Or not killed. I don't know. I was like, well, you might have been killed eventually if you just kept resisting. But no, they would lock you up in prison if you did not go fight for your country. I don't know how long ago that was been, but I do remember stories about it. And then you go to places like North Korea, China. Yeah, if you're a boy and you don't serve in the military, yeah, you get jail time. If not, sacrifice for the greater good. Makes me think of cults every time I say that. Kind of weird. It reminds me of that one movie. What is it? Hot Fuzz. I don't remember the guy's name that's in it. But it's about this big cult that's underground and it keeps killing people. But they tell everybody it was accident. Strictly accident. Strictly accidental. It's a kind of a British film. But it's one of those. It's got the guys that's on Shaun of the Dead on it. And it's really funny because they always like, for the greater good. Anyway, that's all. I think I'm going to end on that because that is enough of my rambunctious suspense for today. Thank y'all for listening. Don't forget to follow us. I say us because I'm talking about this fly that I'm about to kill right now. I will have a funeral. Don't worry. For the fly. Like I said, don't forget to follow us. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel. Comment on anything you think I could do better on that channel. Share it with your friends. Share this with your friends. I'll have some more subjects to discuss. I'm sure there's always going to be something in the news. Peace, God bless, and I'm out.